Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network. Everybody, it's The Voice, and I am on location in the Windy City for the first time ever, recording at Lynx Tap Room. I'm not joking, we're not in the burbs, we are legit in the city. This is the furthest I've gone for a road show, and it's well worth it. You guys are in for a treat today. The reason why is because we're gonna have some fantastic live music from Marty Casey and friends. And we're going to drink some beers, we're going to talk about Lynx Tap Room, we're going to talk about Marty's new solo album, and you guys just sit back, grab a couple beers, and enjoy along with us. So, Drunken Lullabies is brought to you by Distill Brewery in Bloomington, Illinois. They got the brand new tap room that just opened up a couple months ago. Make sure you check it out right off of I-55 and enjoy some fantastic beers from Distill Brewery. All right, well, I'm going to go around the circle and let everybody introduce themselves so you know whose voice belongs to who.
First off, welcome to Chicago.
I mean, I've been here.
Yeah, it's like originally
I contacted Marty. I've been a fan of his for quite a while and was like, hey, I love the new album. I would like to feature some of the songs on the show. How would you feel about me featuring you as a band slash artist of the week? And he's like, let's drink together. So I'm like, all right, we'll do that. So we worked out a date, and here I am up in Chicago, spending my day off, hanging out, talking music, talking beer. There's a lot worse ways to spend a Tuesday, let me tell you. All right, so Marty, you already spoke. We'll start with you.
Marty Casey, I'm the singer in the Marty Casey Project. Still looking for a band name. But right now we're Marty Casey. Next to me is...
My name is Matthias Adams. I am the drummer for my man Marty Casey here. Great guy, great artist, phenomenal to be a part of it, of his team.
Yeah, my name's Kurt Schweitz. I'm the bassist, and looking forward to drinking beer and playing some music.
Those people are happy you're here.
Yeah, right.
You get the sound bites.
Yeah. My name is Mike Quinlan. I'm the owner and beer director of Lynx Tap Room here, and we are indeed in Chicago in the city limits.
Yeah. And we found parking on the street, we put our money in, and it's time for us to enjoy some beer. We're starting with, we're going to start heavy. Fuck it.
All right.
So, the first beer that we are going to enjoy is the Brickstone Dark Secret Raspberry. That's 11%. This is why we're drinking smaller pours. And, start heavy.
Go heavier, sure. Go yeah. home.
Go exactly. heavier, go home.
So, what can you tell us?
Cheers.
Cheers.
To the Marty Casey Project.
Yes.
And Lynx Tap Room and Drunken Lullabies collaboration.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Bam.
So, Dark Secret, sort of punny name from Brickstone as well. So, Brickstone out of Bourbonnais, which is where that alleged football team that we have does their
at least their they do something. At least they camp. Do something right out of Bourbonnais.
We'll get there. But so Brickstone's been around for a while now,
I love the hops.
Tommy is the owner brewmaster over there, and he kind of gained a little notoriety about 4 years ago, about 4 years ago, when he brewed his American Pale Ale. So just the Brickstone APA.
Yeah.
And that actually got some really, really good write-ups.
It's a regular fixture in my fridge.
Yeah, and I believe he did medal at the GABF for that as well. But somebody will have to fact-check me on that one. I think he got a gold medal. It was either a gold, a silver, or a bronze. But he did medal at GABF for that.
That's great.
And from there, He's been putting out some incredible stuff. So the Dark Secret series is his Imperial Stout. This is not, this particular one is not barrel aged. So yep. this is just straight up infused with fresh raspberries, coming in at 11%. Wow. But you'll notice right off the nose, if you give yourself a little swirl here.
I like that.
You'll notice you're gonna get just raspberry, chocolate.
Yeah. And as you warm it up,
a little bit of coffee.
More of that'll come out too.
Mm. A lot more of those flavors will come out as we warm up, indeed. But fantastic beer, fantastic brewery. One we like to carry here pretty frequently at Big Staff Room as well. Normally, you know, this is kind of a little bit of a one-off for or a once-a-year kind of style for them. So we're fortunate to get our hands on some of it.
Excellent.
Would you say
that a beer like this is, you say how it gets tastier as it gets warmer, mm-hmm. it opens up, right?
Yeah.
So is the idea with this, with the glass, to kind of like warm it up? Is it like a cognac where you're like, you're sitting with it and it's getting better as it sits in your hand?
Not necessarily by design, more of a happy accident, I would think.
Yeah.
Typically, we portion this into a wine glass, actually, here. It's with our premium stuff. So you could get up in there and kind of warm it up, but mostly when it comes to beers like this, like true beer nerds will order a small portion of a beer like this, like your Bourbon County Stout or your real heavy hitting stuff that all benefits from warming, and kind of let that sit off to the side
while you drink it.
That's a beer pro.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what you do.
This is how you do.
Never did that. Let me put one on the side.
Well, we do
backup beer.
Yeah. We do that with the episodes that we record at home. We usually are drinking bombers or tall cans, and we'll set everything out. The IPAs will pull out of the fridge right when we're getting ready to drink them. But if we're drinking something barrel aged and heavy, we'll sit that on the table for half the show before we open it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I encourage you to, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not finishing yet, so we're going to just
experience
let that sit
the way that it changes. It's really fascinating.
That is cool. Yeah.
So, Marty, when I was talking to you about doing this show, you immediately had a location in mind. You're like, I know the perfect place we can do it. It's my buddy's place. Apparently, you watched the Cubs win the World Series here.
Yeah, I was here.
I know that holds a special
they let
memory
me in
for you.
Like the fifth inning, they let me in. I had a gig, and then I came here, and it was totally sold out. And he snuck me and my wife in, which was amazing, and even had a seat for us in the back. And Kerry Michael's a friend of mine since college, and we've always been really tight. Amazing dude, first of all, but I've always believed in any projects he's done, mm-hmm. but of all the projects he's ever done, I just think this place, Link's Tavern, is a masterpiece. I mean, I come here, I don't care, my wife's not even a beer drinker, and she loves to come here and try beer for the first
time.
Just because she knows what it looks like, she knows how much alcohol's in it, she knows where it comes from, she has a backstory, so it's fun for her. So then she can kind of be like, I want something, and they always know everything about the menu and just kind of direct her. And I've learned a ton about beer. You know, it's the beer revolution, I'd say, the last 10 years to me. And I've learned so much about beer by coming here because there's so much information right here. How you like to see it now.
Right, yeah, and you guys have the digital pour screen set up, which is really cool because it shows you how much is left. So if you come in and you're debating about what you want to get and like, oh, maybe it'll be on next time. Maybe not. If it's in the red and the yellow, you better get your pour while you can.
We do have the digital pour system, which it shows the remaining beer in the keg. It's also on our website.
Yeah, which I Link checked out room. On the way up here. So I was like, that's incredibly accurate, you know.
On the website, actually, it's a little bit of a different format, but if you hover your mouse pointer over the, they're like little bar graphs there of how much, mm-hmm. little meters of how much is left in each keg, it will actually show you the percentage.
Very cool.
That's left in the keg. Cool. So we do have people who come, you know, running in the door.
Yeah.
We have special limited stuff on.
There's been lines to get in here.
That's
when they're
going
to be tapping something, and it's kind of amazing. I've never seen that in any bar for a beer.
Yeah. Haven't been to the right ones.
Yeah.
It happens more than you think. But yeah, though, that's great that you guys have that, you know, fan base, that loyalty, that the people, you guys are bringing in quality and they're aware of it, and I'm glad that you're hosting us here today. Now, Marty, you've got the brand new solo record. How long have you been working on these songs? Because it's been a handful of years since the last Love Hammers record.
Yeah.
And I know that band's currently on hiatus.
Yep.
Which that's an ambiguous word that you guys, that means you guys can do whatever you want. But it was just time to do something that strays a little bit from the Love Hammer sound and just make it more your own.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, been in the Love Hammers literally since the late 80s, believe it or not. You know, I played t-ball baseball with these guys and we started a band, and I've done that my entire career. Taken some, you know, steps out and did an LA Guns record. It was just an opportunity. It, you know, took a step out and did Rockstar in Excess. You know, kind of diversion. It kind of everything's, you know, been an assistance too of helping the Love Hammers grow. Because the more I grow, the more the band grows too. You know, it's a, kind of a sidebar to it that works. But with this, you know, some of these songs I've been writing since I was a teenager, and had these licks or these things that I really wanted to finish. Mm-hmm. And they never really worked for what the Love Hammers did. And I love what the Love Hammers do, but I wanted to do something that kind of that showcased a different side of me in the songwriting side.
Yes, definitely some that if they were on a Love Hammers record, this came like La La La.
Yeah, totally
that came
different.
On, be like, what are they doing?
Yeah, totally different. And I knew I couldn't get away with that in a Love Hammers record, but I knew, and I didn't want to do a Love Hammers record without the Love Hammers.
Right.
So I wanted to go a completely different direction. And I took 2 years to just write it. My mentor is a guy named Marty Fredrickson.
Marty's done
the last few Aerosmith records and done Carrie Underwood records, Mick Jagger, Buck Cherry.
Right?
Yeah, they bought an amazing studio called Quad. You know where like Margaritaville was recorded and Neil Young did Harvest. You know there, so it's this legendary studio. And he said, "Well, you can kind of guinea pig the studio because I'm going to have Steven Tyler in, but before I make sure everything works after I buy it, I'll do your record." So kind of turned in from that, and just he spent 2 years grinding me to write. He was helping me write or finish what I write, and he has a team of writers too that I've got to step in and assist with, you know, kind of perfecting these songs the best I could, bring them down there, work on them. He flew me out to Maui to do the vocals because he thought it would have a good vibe and the weather's really nice to sing. So I spent 2 weeks singing in Maui, and this is just a zen project, I consider it, because it was the whole ride I knew was just so unbelievable that I was getting to take this opportunity and do it, that I enjoyed every single second, every trip to Nashville, every trip to Maui, every songwriting session, playing with some amazing cats on the record. And then once I finished it, getting to put a band together based out of Chicago that not only take this record and what we did, but bring it again to a new live level, like the Love Hammers always did. The record sounds one way, but you keep existing and keep the songs growing. And that's what we've done as a band here. And, you know, it's really getting insane now how good it's getting and how open and how free and how much, like, jamming we're orienting into it. And we're just getting booked now on a weekly basis. There's another opportunity, and we're taking all of them just to play. And, you know, today we couldn't have Mikey and Matt, our two guitarists, play. So I'm going to play, and then we're going to work out solos with the bass, you know, with the stand-up bass. So I just feel this band is limitless to keep on trying and evolving these songs to even grow beyond what they hear on a record. So, man, it's been a true dream to get this, and the Zen experience just don't end as long as this keeps building.
Yeah, for sure. And I've really enjoyed the new album, and I believe you're going to treat us to a couple tracks. Do we want to go ahead and play one off the new album now?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. We'll do a little... Beautiful Sunset, it's the last track off the record, and I'm trying to, in a unique circumstance, play all the songs off this record in a format like this, like either on a television show or on a podcast. So one that we haven't dug into yet is Beautiful Sunset, and I'm going to wing it and play guitar and have Kurt on stand-up bass and Matthias on his makeshift drum set. He's gonna bang it out and helping us out is we got some roofers that are working in the back or some contractors. So they're gonna add some additional percussion.
A little percussion for you, no charge.
We'll kick it. Hola. shining. It comes from different angles, different heights. Always blinding, and you can't hold back any tide. Call me ocean, and baby, here I stand. My eyes wide open.
There we go.
Yeah,
we got it on our video. I didn't have a good enough connection to go live, but I recorded it and we'll post it, and it'll be shared all across Facebook, I'm sure. So keep your eyes open for that one. And we'll hear another song later, but we've got more beer to drink. So yeah. I think we're going to jump into this one next, which is the Noon Whistle Squishy Gummy. And what can you tell us about this one?
Well, Noon Whistle, out of Burbs, the name is a moniker for, it's a whistle stop town, if you will,
okay.
along the Burlington line there. But these guys have been around for about 3-4 years now, and originally, what really got me into them was they're making some kettle sour beers called Face Smack. And just a little kind of pun on smacking your face with that upfront sour flavor that you'll get from a kettle sour. It's a little more astringent typically than if you were to sort of go with a wild sour. But Really good. So they did a bunch of those, and then this phenomenon of the New England style IPA came knocking at our door, and a bunch of breweries in the area are turning out their versions of the New England style IPA.
Yeah, it's definitely the it.
It's the
style
thing
right
here,
now,
you know.
Which is fine with me because I'm a hophead. So is the juicier the better, in my opinion. But it definitely is the craze right now.
The hallmarks of New England style, it's hazy.
It's not transparent.
Yeah, very hazy, really juicy, a lot of bright.
It looks like you could be drinking orange juice or grapefruit juice.
Not so much bitter,
yeah,
but more of the fruit flavors,
yeah,
that you can get
bright
from the various hops. So in this case, this is their squishy gummy. They do a whole series of beers called the gummy series, and keep your eyes peeled. If you do see one, I would highly recommend grabbing it. They're fantastic. So this particular one, like I said, is the squishy, and it features Simcoe, Mosaic, and Citra hops in there.
And that's cool. Almost my trinity.
That's kind of, yeah.
So yeah, this was one I saw on the list. I'm like, oh yeah, I got to try that. And I haven't had anything from that brewery, so.
Oh really?
Another reason to want to try
for a treat. So you notice you're gonna get those real big bold fruit flavors. You're gonna get a little bit of bitterness in there, which is just that's the whole purpose of hops, really, at the end of the day. But you're more so gonna get those flavors in there. Like, what do you guys taste in there?
What are you tasting in there?
Good question. This just tastes good.
At the end of the day, that's the good one.
That's what we're going for.
I do say, you know, that bitterness is something that I enjoy, and that's what hits me right away.
If you take a deep breath and then breathe out through your nose and kind of run that across your palate, then you'll pick up on, you know,
I definitely some spice in there, like cardamom almost.
You can see a little bit of that. You definitely get kind of like your tropical fruits,
yeah.
Pineapple.
I can tell citrus in it, you know.
A little bit of orange.
And it's got, you know, just a little bit of
a
bitter finish, you know, on the tongue. So yeah. That's, yeah, it's just, they go down very quickly, I find. Again, so that's why you order the heavy stout. Chill, you know, and marinate while.
I can see where you get that cardamom
just a little
too, because of that bitter. It's if you're eating, like, if you've ever eaten a whole cardamom pod,
yeah.
It kind of tastes like the end of the pod.
Just
there,
like the aftertaste a little bit at the end.
What's a cardamom?
It's like it's a seed, but it's in some, like, it's in a lot of, like, Indian dishes, but, you know, it's also, they put in teas and different things. So it's got,
I
wasn't familiar with it either.
Yeah, you pulled out a cardamom, man.
I thought it was a flower.
Yeah, you know? You're a pro drinker. Put cardamom up there next to it. AKA cardamom.
If you're in a pinch, you got a tummy ache, it'll settle your stomach.
Oh, so. I didn't know that.
Yeah. All right. Well, good
to
know.
I used to work in an Indian restaurant. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, that would be a major problem for me if I worked at a place like that. So, you guys have food here, though, but not Indian cuisine.
Well, not necessarily Indian cuisine. Our primary focus is homemade sausages, hand-cut fries, salads, soups, chili, cheese curds, chicken wings on Sundays. We do a burger day, so we like to call it elevated bar food.
Okay.
Real straightforward, real simple. We do have a from scratch kitchen, so everything that we can make in house here, we make in house. We don't like to bring in anything frozen.
That's great, yeah.
And, you know, we're known for dips as well. We have a bunch of different dips and sauces that people can
What's
get.
What's your go-to, Marty, when you're here?
You know what? They always have a special. I usually end up trying the special.
Just go with that.
But the thing that I love is when you come in and you order your fries, and you get, like, there's, like, 12 different dips you can get.
Okay.
And so, like, one is, like, a jalapeno cheddar dip. It kind of takes even the fries to the next evolution of how good they are. Where
that's
I
probably
almost,
what my girlfriend would go with.
It's unbelievable.
Sure.
Mm. So that's, like, the highlight for me. It's, like, but they have so much great stuff. And, And I usually, the great thing is you're having a few beers here, and then you're gonna need to get something big in your in your stomach. You need to get a real meal. You can't have chips or bar nuts or something like that. You got to really do it. It's such a nice place to drink because you always got that right down there. It's reasonably priced and it's just good. Yeah. And you're a beer drinker. You know a lot about beer, a lot more than I know about beer. When you have like different beers like this and you enjoy a menu like this, probably 12 you want to drink. Are you drinking one of each? Or are you saying, no, I like this so much I'm going to drink this tonight?
Usually, if places have flights available where that's basically where you get a pour like this, you'll usually do about 4 to 5 of them. And my girlfriend is a craft beer drinker as well, so if we go to a place, we each order a flight and we get 5 different beers each, and then we'll just drink half and then slide it across the table and we go halvesies. So nice. We each get to try 10 different beers and everybody wins. So
were you at one point, being from the Bloomington area, mm-hmm. were you at one point like the rest of us, just like a Miller Domestic. High
Life? Oh, yeah. Beer?
And then or in college, like whatever you drink in Natty Light?
Natty Light was definitely in my fridge. PBR. I'll still drink a PBR when I go to punk shows. You can't beat a $2 tall boy.
Absolutely. So then where does it go from just drinking that? Is it like you had a honey brown and then you're like, yeah, oh my God, like it a is. Different it, beer. It was like, when did it happen? When
a
did
gradual it... evolution. Like, I actually just drank Domestic for quite a while, and then I quit drinking for about 4 years, and then I was...
Cleanse the palate.
Yeah.
Try to cleanse the
palate.
And
then I was like, you know what? I'm going to drink beer again, but I'm going to drink better beer. I want to see what's out there. And, I did the gateway beers like your Blue Moons, your Line and Kugels, variety packs, and you're like, oh, okay, this is a porter, and like this is a shandy, and this is a rattler, and you work your way up. Sours are one of my favorite beers. It took me 2 years to appreciate and get into them. So everybody's palate, it's always
evolving. I jumped right into those.
Really? I've had friends do that, and I couldn't do it. I bought a 4-pack of a Distill Flanders Red, and it took me a full year to drink all 4 cans. And now, I have to limit them because the acidicness of them will just tear you up with the heartburn. So have a Zantac ready or something.
What about what everybody really wants to know? What beer do you drink when you don't want to be hungover the next day?
See, I don't get hungover, so that could be
what's
anything.
What's that? You're a beer drinking superhero.
It's about knowing when you need to start drinking the water. Always drink water before you go to bed. Maybe pop an ibuprofen or something before you hit the sack. And just
moderation.
Moderation.
That's the beer that you drink.
I've got a friend. He's a DJ in Peoria. He's a Chicago guy. And he has a catchphrase, and anytime there's a beer fest, it's like, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And you'll still see those guys that just come out the gates, hitting it hard, and they're passed out, 2 hours later, and just oblivious.
Gotta get my money's worth.
Yeah, exactly.
Fill it up twice.
Yeah, so that doesn't always work out so well. But these beers definitely are working out well, for sure. And you self-released this new solo album.
Yeah.
It was crowdfunded, and talk about that whole process.
Well, I mean, I had the opportunity to release it through a label, based on my connection with Marty Fredrickson.
You know,
he has his own imprints and stuff like that, but they ended up, major labels end up, if you really want a real deal, they end up taking about 78% of the gross.
Yeah.
78. So to make it work with the remainder, there is really no remainder, because that's gross. That means everything I put into it, to even make that would be crazy to try and make back. So I thought, with the strength of the fan base, that I released it on Pledge Music, and I just got an instantaneous, overwhelming response. Everybody just, the first day it was released, kind of set it up that I'd be able to do a few videos. Be able to do a radio campaign, some lyric videos, putting the band together, rehearsing the band, and getting on the road to do some of these shows. So it just was the strength of the fan base from day one of the pledge campaign, that really gave me the funds to be able to do this like a major label,
right?
You know, or we'll call it like an indie label.
Yeah.
You know, got, you know, there's nothing we haven't done that say an indie would do for you. I got a team. I got a team to actually release the record and manage the pledge campaign. I got a publicist. I mean, we put this amazing band together. You know, we're going to go after radio next, and we decide on kind of which single's working best for radio, which radio format. And, you know, we got one more, the third video that's been done.
Yeah, I've seen the two.
Yeah.
They're very entertaining.
Yeah.
You got the time travel video, which I appreciate as a science fiction fan. And then, you know,
the bowling video.
Which I gotta say, the first time I watched it, when the guy at the nacho stand started lip syncing the background vocals, I actually laughed out loud. That was nice. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one. What song is it gonna be for?
It's called Anything You Want. It's the one we wrote with In Excess, Andrew Ferris.
I was actually gonna mention that song because my first listen on the new record, that track comes on, and I was like, oh. So this is what NXS would have sounded like if Marty had been the singer.
Exactly.
And this is before I knew it was even a co-write. So you got that vibe immediately.
Yeah.
It's got that NXS sound. And I first found the Love Hammers. I worked at a indie record store in Pekin, Illinois that I later ended up running for a decade called Co-op Records. And we had a copy of the Murder album in the racks, and I found that, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna check this out. And that was my introduction. And then cue Rockstar NXS, and that's when a lot of people outside of Central Illinois and the Chicago area found out who Marty Casey was. And, you know, there's a lot of people still to this day think you should have been the winner, and I agree with them, but I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah,
because it worked out really well for the Love Hammers. You guys still got signed. You still got. I liked that you kept the group together.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. That was the plan, even going in.
Yeah.
The Rockstar was that. I honest to God, I told my father before I started. I go, Dad, I'm doing this reality show. He's like, that's crazy. Like, he didn't really even know. I didn't even know what reality television was back then.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Dad, I'm going to go on the show. I can take second place, and Love Hammers are going to be huge.
Yeah,
and it's actually what happened.
Right,
and,
right.
It's awesome.
It was great that you got to feature.
But I did want to win once I was on.
Yeah,
I really wanted to win.
That's just the competitiveness, you know.
But it did work out. You know, I didn't know when they were, you know, flying around in private jets and, you know, playing on, you know, the Good Morning America, or playing in New York City in the square, you know, in NXS, and we're touring with them, and they got 7 tour buses. It was a little tough,
know,
to be,
and you guys are
to take second place, and we got a tour bus with 3 wheels. But you know, but that was the Chicago way. That was the Love Hammer way, is just keep grinding, and we did, and you know, we got to play all around the world and sold a lot of records, and it was pretty amazing. But this song that we're actually going to play, I mentioned that third song, third video is Anything You Want, but this song is called The Ground You Walk On.
And that's the title track.
The title track. And this one just lyrically just spoke a lot to me, that the kind of theme of this record being this Zen record of making it was almost as important as the record, and kind of that statement about the ground you walk on is how we all got here today. So we'll kind of wing it and see how it goes. You walk on.
shot is an endless road. Yeah, some songs get you high and some songs take you low. If I look out my window, if I look out for you, probably always gonna wonder, why didn't you grab the ground you walked on to deserve to make? Yeah, try, but I can never be what you need. But don't wanna hurt you, no.
To hear that, and you know, just a nice sweet love song. There's a few of those on there, I'm sure. The missus doesn't hate that.
No, she's liking that. After all the time I put her through, 2 years of making this record, it's like I owe her a few.
Yeah. And isn't she in one of the videos?
Yeah, she's in the
bowling video.
Yeah, she's on a roll video, and she's also all of her dancers that she's trained in Anything You Want video, and they're literally like backflips, and it's unbelievable. They're like Cirque du Soleil.
Really?
They're unbelievable dancers, so it's a really wicked. It's kind of a Bowie 80s, very 80s, bright, colorful, crazy video, so I'm psyched for it.
All right, well, we've got one more beer here to try, and this one's the Sierra Nevada?
This is the Sierra Nevada Garage Project collaboration. So it's part of the Beer Cramp across the world. They did America last year, Beer Cramp across America, where Sierra Nevada collaborated with a bunch of different breweries, came up with recipes.
Yeah, it's a really cool idea that they do.
This year they expanded on that a little bit and went international. So this is actually with Garage Project, like I mentioned, which is out of New Zealand. In New Zealand they would call it Garage Project.
Garage,
you know, if you have parents, they're your parents, not your parents. But I had the pleasure of being down there actually not too long ago. Beautiful country, great beer scene as well. But this is a porter, which is one of the most classic styles of beer.
The monks drink this? This is what the monks drink?
Oh, they drink singles and doubles.
Yeah,
and Porter is more of a British invention. At least the British popularized it when the British pretty much ruled the world, or at least many corners of it. They shipped porter all over the world, and that's what everybody drank. So porter was the number one style. Guinness was the number one beer in the world, but at the time they were actually making a porter, not a stout.
Yeah, it's a little bit lighter than a stout.
So this particular porter, however, the idea, and we can tie this back to romance and your wife and that lovely song, is this is supposed to taste like a s'more. So if you imagine you're sitting around the campfire and you've got your graham cracker, your marshmallow, your chocolates, They put some vanilla and honey in this, so it's going to kind of... It doesn't go too much on the vanilla, but...
And there's a... If we're talking s'mores, there's another beer that I've had that comes to mind that was from Chicago. I believe Pipeworks made it. They had a s'more beer.
I'm not 100% sure, but that sounds like something Pipeworks would do.
Yeah.
So, Pipeworks makes some really crazy stuff. They make, the Big Lebowski inspired beer that's based off
White Russians.
There's a White Russian.
There's so many great breweries up here.
Don't string me up, but I'm not a big Lebowski guy, so yeah. I don't quite remember the hey dude, there's a beverage here. Man, there's a beverage.
That's a tasty
there,
beverage, something like that. Yeah. So the album's out. You're assembling the project, the to be named band. What you guys just did a hometown show, I believe.
Yeah, I went back to the place that I started drinking at 19. My buddy's father owned it.
Statute of limitations.
Still open.
Yeah. But back in the day, that was many moons ago. But but we used to sneak in there and it was the type of place where you buy two, you get the third one free. The Love Hammers were had four CDs in the jukebox. By the time they got a new jukebox, but. I wanted to go back. It's probably, if you had 100 people in there, it'd be out the door. So I just went back, we played right on the floor in the corner where the dart boards usually are.
That's cool.
And saw a bunch of old friends, but it was really fun. That was my first gig with the Love Hammers at a bar 23 years ago.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to go back in there and just play, and my buddies, a group of buddies bought it now, and it's exactly the same place. Like, there's been no bathroom upgrades. There's been the bar is the same. The stools are the same. It's an old place, but I just really wanted to go in there and play there, and it felt really good to do it.
Cool. So what you got some dates coming up?
Yeah, we got July 20th. Remember Fuel?
Okay.
And remember Marcy Playground?
Yes, I do.
I like sex and candy. Oh, yeah. We got one in Joliet. Okay. And then we got one coming up that's just announced. I know it's September 9th. I know it's with Andy Grammer.
Okay.
And I know it's out in the Western Burbs. One's coming up.
Morton Grove?
No, Morton Grove we have is... this will be aired after. But...
Sorry, guys. I'm a week ahead.
No, that's... Yeah. So, we just got a bunch of... we're just getting offered stuff. We get offered stuff all around the U.S. Just got offered a L.A. show, a Boston show, but it's trying to string them together to make sense.
Yeah.
But I know we're going to fly out to L.A. and do a CD release kind of show there.
Cool.
And Gary Beers from NXS said he'd like to play some bass with us. We might add a second bass.
Nice.
Do anything you want.
You guys can do a bass off.
Yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. I fear any man that would go against Kurt.
Kurt's got the stand-up.
I don't normally play stand-up on this.
If he can't beat you on the licks, he'll just beat you with his huge bass.
It's just bigger. Yeah.
So where can everybody find what's going on with Marty Casey? Where's the one-stop
shop? MartyCaseyMusic.com is great. It has everything one-stop. You want to buy merch, too. And then... I would say Facebook or Google is the best way, because you get everywhere, you'll find every show, and I'm, we're putting everything out there. We got a great team. But what I'd really like to know is that, what's the craziest beer you've ever drank? There one that's really out there that you're like, this might have been pushing it too far, or maybe it was unbelievable, but it's just what?
Well, there's one that we actually had on the show that I picked up a bomber of, because I knew it would be a good conversation beer. It was called Indra Canindra from Ballast Point. It was a curry beer.
Oh my God.
We drank about the pours that we have here, probably about 3-4 ounces. It was tough for me to finish my portion, but I had another guy who wanted seconds. It's just one of those beers. You either loved it or you hated it. And I was unfortunately in the hate, but it was good show content.
Yeah.
You
got to pull that out once in a while.
But that's definitely the one that comes to mind. There was another one I had that was a sour, that it was a spiced hot sour. It was a cayenne sour. Oops. And I did not know that when I ordered it.
Oops.
And I just ordered it because I knew the brewery and I knew it was a sour. It's like, yeah, I'll try that. And I got a whole snifter of it. And I took a sip and I was like, what the fuck did I just do? And I was like, you guys need to get glasses because I'm not going to be able to do this. And I poured some out and shared it with my homies. And but yeah, it's those really heavy, spicy hot beers. I can't do it. I can cook with them. They're fantastic to cook with.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great idea.
I use jalapeno beer in my chili. Yeah. I won an award in my bank.
Everyone! Award-winning! We didn't know he was an award-winning podcast.
Award-winning chili makes a podcast. But yeah. But yeah, it's just, it's not my thing.
Those spicy beers will get you. I would have to agree. We had Founders out of Michigan, they make all day IPA. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal beer. Yeah. Set the standard for the whole session IPA movement. But they took that and they took the barrels that had Canadian breakfast stout in them.
Yeah.
Which had maple syrup in them previously from this company called Bliss, B-L-I-S, out of Michigan, who's doing some wonderful things. Well, they made a hot sauce with those barrels, and then they took all the IPA and they put them into the barrels that had held maple syrup.
Guys, Lord, that's a lot going on.
So, and then...
What was that called?
It was called Bliss Blast. Actually.
Yeah, I did not have that.
We got a barrel of it, and it was very polarizing. Like you said, there were a lot of people. It sold out very quickly. There were a lot of people that really loved it.
Well, that's good.
And a lot of people that did not particularly care for it. I personally did not myself.
That's the methodology of anything we're doing worth overdoing. You know, that's intense.
As long as you're getting a reaction, it could be good or bad. It's when you don't
make a wave.
You know, that's Kurt, when it's bad.
The weirdest beer? I don't know.
Weirdest or craziest? I'll say mine. Mine was my dad liked to drink Augsburger Bock when it came out back in the day. You know, you had to wait and it only came out once a year and he loved that. But he and my uncles drank and there was some in the cooler, but it was left in the cooler for like many months, you know, in the garage. So it was warm and cold and frozen and not frozen and whatever. But I knew it's like maybe a 17 or 18 year old that like there's this beer that my father may have forgotten about that my friends may be able to grab and drink.
Right.
So after it, you know, fermented in that heat and cool for a long time.
You can take it up and down, you know, a little bit. But
the extremes
changing
might have been
a lot.
In there a year in the Chicago winter and then the Chicago summer. And then I remember drinking and I'm like, I guess this is what my dad likes. This really, it was whacked out by that point. Yeah. I remember we were trying to convince ourselves that this is what good beer tastes like.
I'm now finishing that Brickstone, and I am getting a lot more of the raspberry now that it's warmed up.
I get a lot more, the raspberry.
Oh, yeah, there's way more.
More
coffee. Oh, yeah.
The cold really, it subdues.
Isolates it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, the Bliss Blast tasted like a Michelada. Which people love Michelada.
I do.
I don't like Michelada.
I love it.
So that's on me.
We drink them at rehearsal.
It's a band drink.
It's a band drink.
Is it really?
And I found them online if you go to Amazon. It's 24 ounces, right? It's like a plastic, it's like a one of those styrofoam cups you get at a truck stop. So you just rip the top off, and there's a little packet, and you pour it in there, and then you pour your, we choose Tecate.
That's pretty
And we
cool.
pour them in there. And of course, it's like, probably the nastiest sodium content that you've ever been delivered in.
It's tomato juice in general.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We started doing it at rehearsals, and we go through a few of those a rehearsal.
Yeah, it's true.
They're not good, though. They're not good. But when that's all you got, you enjoy that.
Now, usually towards the end of the show, which, you know, we're getting there, we do...
it's too early.
I did find out, though, I do not have a Malort face.
Oh, yeah? That's
oddly
impressive.
Enough, a Chicago guy...
That sounds like a challenge.
A Chicago, well, it may have been late enough in the night that I'd been drinking enough that I wasn't getting the full effect, but I came into it expecting it to be horrific, and I drank it, and, like, I just stared down everybody else, and one guy's like... doing the like brushing of the tongue, like, why did you do this to me? This will never go away. And I'm just like,
it wasn't that bad.
Gasoline. You know, I drank a lot worse.
Drinking gasoline.
But we do our picks of the week, and we go around and say what beer we enjoyed the most. Honestly, okay. These are all three of these could be contenders. It just depends on what your preference is. I really like the Brickstone, but like I said, I'm a hophead, and I had never had anything from Noon Whistle, and this gummy beer was fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's going to be my pick. Well, how about you?
Oh, I get to go first. Yeah. Well, I have a very diplomatic answer. As the beer director of Lynx, I already technically picked all three of these beers.
That's true.
And I enjoy them all in different ways at different times.
Yeah. Yeah, like if I'm looking for a repeat drink, Noon Whistle. If I'm looking for just like a one that I'm going to sit and enjoy for an hour, either one of these is great, but I would probably go with the Brickstone, because it's 11%, so 11 is my lucky number.
I could curl up in front of a fire with a couple of these now, the Brickstones, that'd be great, but something to just drink all the time. You know, I couldn't have that every all the you know.
I mean, you could. You're not going to remember the rest of the afternoon, but you could.
So,
Brickstone's my choice.
Yep, and that's yours. Marty, what are you thinking?
Why? What do you like about it?
You know what? It's just I don't know. I'm not a beer head, but it just tastes good. Mm. Like out of the three, this was my favorite.
And what's your go-to drink normally?
I don't really have a go-to drink.
Okay.
It's just whatever. I mean, I'm not like. A beer. I'm not more like a wine.
Okay. Because I drink craft beer, and I've got a craft beer indie music podcast, but I'm not a snob about it. I've interviewed plenty of punk bands, and we talked about Domestics and Natty Light, and I don't forget my roots, and I've had many bands on, and they're like, dude, I drink Natty Bow, and I drink Schlitz, and whatever our drink tickets will get us.
Yeah,
that's how it works. Right? And it's like
just PBR.
I just learned we got to put a bottle of wine on the rider. We didn't know that. You have no problem with the beers we've been serving though.
Only green gummy bears.
Yeah, I gotta say. Easily, maybe it's because of the time of day, maybe that we're doing the podcast, but I'd say the Noon Whistle it just feels so good
right now.
Like, it's like, does the podcast have to end? Shouldn't we do like 17 more of these?
That's great. It's awesome because you were saying you were a dark beer guy. It's just so cool to see you pick that.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's just so right on the money. It's just such easy drinking. I believe it or not, with all the in front of your face it is, it's also very refreshing at the same time. It's kind of I don't know how it does that.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was a little hard to taste the other ones after that one, because I still have the taste of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll kind of stick to your palate a little. It's good, though.
It will, for sure. And we went over what Marty's got going on. Are there anything, events coming up at Lynx that you would like to promote? Where can people find info about what's happening here?
You can always go to our webpage, www.linkstaproom.com. You can click on beer menu. There's an events tab as well. Facebook is a good way to find us. And Twitter, of course, which we're at Links Tap Room on Twitter. Every time we tap a keg, it'll tweet out the keg that we have just tapped and the one it's replacing. So if you're interested in something, you can keep your eyes peeled on our Twitter. Events, we do a lot of beer tastings, a lot of beer events. Our events page.
Spoke to Carrie too. We're gonna play here. We're gonna do a set here.
We're right here.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
This is the dry run.
We're musically oriented a little bit. For my taste,
they play albums here.
We do a lot of vinyl.
Yeah, I noticed. Setup over there, which I really appreciate.
And if you bring one in, and if it's decent, they might spin a side for you.
Yeah, we'll spin it. If the place booms, we have to take it off. We do a lot of the band. And Fish, we do their official webcasting as well, free of charge.
Okay.
Which we get a lot of people in here who enjoy that as well.
Cool.
Any Fish fans out there will see my menus loaded with puns.
I think that's a craft beer thing, you know, with the names.
There's overlap, and I love a good pun. But nonetheless, so, yeah. You know, when my friends knew I was opening this place up, they were like, "Oh, are you going to play fish all the time?" And I'm like, "No, nobody wants to hear that all the time." Variety is the spice of life, and it really is. It really is, and
especially that's in kind craft of what beer.
Got me into beer, yeah. In the first place, you know.
Well, excellent. And if everybody's really lazy and doesn't want to do that, if you're listening to this, you can click in the description and all of their Twitter handles and websites will be hyperlinked. So just click the blue thing and it'll take you right where you need to go. All right. Well, gentlemen, I would like to thank you for inviting me here to Link's Tap Room to listen to some music from Marty Casey and the gang and talk shop. Talk beer, and I've had a great time. It's been well worth the trip.
Ah, yeah.
And I still have another show to do after
I know.
This a little bit later, right. But okay. If this was all I had to do today, forget about it. it had been worth the drive. So thank you very much again.
Thank you. It's our pleasure.
Hey.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for
yeah, good times. Good times. Nice bass solo.
Yes, for sure. And I got it all on video, so if you guys check out the Facebook page, Drunken Lullabies Podcast, you can find us on Instagram. You will be able to see those videos, and maybe Marty's already shared them on his Facebook page, and you've seen them on there. So until next time, this is The Voice saying, may your music be loud and your beers be cold. We'll see you in a week.
This has been a Fakakta Comedy Funhouse production, produced by Dustin Wyckoff, executive produced by Blake Clayton. For more information and content, go to fcfnetwork.com.